Take your Bibles and turn with me this morning for a few moments to the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible. Genesis chapter 25, starting with verse 29. This morning I want to share with you for a few moments a message that I've titled, All Things Are Not Equal. All things are not equal. Genesis chapter 25 gives us a story that most of us are familiar with. It's a story of two brothers, they're twins. The one twin takes advantage of the other. The other sells out his life and future way too cheap. Listen what the Bible says, starting here in verse 29. It says, once when Jacob, this is one of the twins, once when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau, which is his brother, twin brother, came in from the open country, famished. He said to Jacob, quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished. That is why he's also called Edom, or red. Jacob replied, first sell me your birthright. Jacob, remember in Scripture, he is the trickster. He is a deceiver. So Jacob replied, first sell me your birthright. Look, I'm about to die, Esau said. What good is that birthright to me? But Jacob said, swear to me first. So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. He ate and drank and got up and left. So Esau despised his birthright. Look at verse 34. Last part says, so Esau despised, he thought very little of, held it closely to heart. No, he despised his birthright. You know, I've heard a lot of people say the cliche over these past weeks, well, all things being equal, implying that it makes no difference what choices we make in life, all things are equal. The main problem with that statement is the fact that all things are not equal. In our text here, Esau, in a moment of hunger, lost his perspective on the value of his birthright and traded it for a simple bowl of lentil stew. After the meal, the fact of his poor choice seems to have hit home, but it was too late. The deal had been consummated with an irrevocable oath. Then comes a sad commentary that we see in verse 34. He ate and drank, got up and left. So Esau despised his birthright. Now, I want you to consider with me for a few moments this morning three fatal mistakes of this twin by the name of Esau. First of all, Esau momentarily considered all things to be equal. Friends, we live in an era of confused values. Absolutes have been maligned and even mocked. All things are proclaimed to be of equal value once again in life. All life is equal. They'll tell us whether it's fish, fowl, or human, all are equal. All are living flesh, and so whether it's fish, fowl, or whether it is human life, it's all equal. Save the whales, save the dolphins, save the butler garter snakes, save the crabs, save the snails. Matter of fact, in Spain, apes have been afforded the same constitutional rights as human beings. And so you have this same right. And one asks, does that mean they're going to start voting? I'm not sure. Well, at the same time of giving human rights to animals and preserving their lives, at the same time the world is considering euthanasia for the infirmed, for the aged, and for the mentally challenged. All of lifestyles are considered to be equal in this generation. Whether it's heterosexual, homosexual, bisexual, transsexual, again, they say all things are equal. It makes no difference what choice you make in life. They say all religions are equal, whether it's Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, or Christianity. Friends, listen carefully this morning. All things are not equal. Yes, Now, for those of you that would argue the point and say, oh, I believe all things are equal, let me just say a pound of lead is not equal to a pound of gold. A gravel stone is not equal to a diamond. Esau gave up so much for a simple bowl of chili. As Isaac's firstborn of the twins, it was given to Esau what was called the birthright. Now you say birthright, I'm not sure what a birthright means. It is not something that we practice in modern times in the same way. So let me give you a little definition of what the birthright meant. The birthright entitled Esau to the official authority of his father. At the passing of his father, he would be the one that would be the chieftain over the family. He would be the one that would guide the family. This was a high privilege and a high responsibility. So the birthright then entitled Esau to be the authority of the father upon his father Isaac's passing. It also gave him a double portion of the family's estate. Whatever the inheritance would be, the firstborn, the one with this wonderful gift, the birthright, would receive a double portion. So if there were 10 in the family, they divided it up by 10. Whatever that number would be, they would get double of anyone else. So there was financial benefits to it. Thirdly, was the privilege of being the priest of the family, to guide and direct that family spiritually. That was a high and holy and honored position. All of this belonged to the firstborn, to the one that was given the birthright. Now, technically, when you read of the lineage of Abraham, for most of us, if we say Abraham, it is immediately followed by Isaac and then Jacob. And that is the way it plays out. But technically, it should have been Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. You see, the birthright in and of itself was absolutely priceless. And by any measurement, certainly much greater in value than any single bowl of chili. Friends, you need to understand this morning and remember that the blessing of the Lord is greater than whatever it costs us to get, and it is greater than whatever it costs us to keep. The blessing of the Lord is a real deal. Jim Elliot, missionary martyr to the Aucca Indians in South America, he wrote this, and these words have immortalized his life and lifestyle. He is no fool who gives up that which he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. Friends, the blessing of the Lord is priceless. And at this moment, Esau comes in from the field. He is hungry. And he gives up every blessing that was given to him rightfully. And he surrenders it all for a bowl of chili to his brother, because for a moment he considered all things to be equal. Secondly, I want you to see how Esau was driven by momentary desire. You know, Esau, according to the Bible, he was a skillful hunter. And he was out hunting. And this day he comes, returns back home after a long hunt, but he comes back without any kill. He comes back, what we would say today, skunked. He is tired, he is thirsty, he is hungry as can all be, and Jacob is now cooking, that is his twin brother. His twin brother is cooking some lentil stew, and how good that must have smelled to a hungry man coming in from out from the hunt. Listen to their conversation. Verse 30, it says, he said to Jacob, that is to his twin brother, he said to Jacob, quick, let me have some of that red stew. I am famished. That is why he's also called Edom, because of the red. Look at verse 31. Jacob replied. Now remember, Jacob is twin brother. He is younger by only probably 17 minutes. They tell us that most twins, if you were to average it out, most twins are born about 17 minutes later. Some earlier, of course, and some somewhat later. So here is the younger and the older of the twins. Jacob replied, he is the younger now. He is the one that has not received the birthright. even though it's only 17 minutes or a few minutes apart. Jacob replied, this trickster, to his brother, hungry, first sell me your birthright. Listen to how he responds. Look, I'm about to die. I'm sure that Esau was not that hungry that he was about to die. However, in this moment, I want you to see what is driving him. What is driving his decisions is the momentary desire for something to eat. Look, I'm about to die, Esau said. What good is the birthright to me? But Jacob said, swear to me first. So he swore an oath to him. Now you have to remember, when you would swear an oath, especially at this time, it was irrevocable. Your word, and especially a word that was given by an oath, was standing no matter what. You could not turn back. You could not change your mind. You could not say, I was just kidding. All of this was unacceptable. So swear to me first. So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob, his twin. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. It says he ate and drank and then got up and left. So Esau despised. That word despised there simply means handled very carelessly. Valued it far too low. So he despised, valued far too low his birthright. The pulpit commentary says of verse 34, this is a graphic portrait of an utterly carnal mind, which lives solely in and for the immediate gratification of appetite. Look at that one more time. This is a graphic portrayal of an utterly carnal mind, earthly mind, which lives solely in and for the immediate gratification of the appetite. Esau, he traded his long-term blessings, which were many, we've listed them, for the momentary pleasure of what was temporal and that which was immediate. You see, the birthright's enjoyment was future. It did not pass on to him until his father would have died. And so the birthright was future. The chili was here and now. And so he chose to give up the big picture for the small moment of just a bowl of chili. Friends, a momentary decision on any one of our part can have lifelong, and not only lifelong, but eternal ramifications. We're so used to saying, well, I've changed my mind. You know, I was just kidding. I really didn't mean it. You know, when I signed that, I really didn't fully understand what I was signing. And we say all of these things in some way to somehow make ourselves unaccountable for the things we do in life. Friends, we need to get to the point where the eternal guides our daily lives. Not the momentary, but rather the eternal. There's a story in Matthew chapter 19 of a rich young ruler that comes to Jesus, and he asks Jesus this question. Jesus, what good thing must I do in order to have eternal life? And Jesus looked at him and said, let's get one thing straight right off the front, and that is there's only one that is good, and that is God. But if you want to have eternal life, keep the commandments. And this young man said, well, I know there's at least 10 of them. Tell me, what is the most important of these commandments? What commandments must I keep? And Jesus said, thou shalt not murder. And in his mind, he's saying, check, I'm pretty good here. I haven't killed anyone, at least today. So, check. And then he says, do not commit adultery. Well, I've never done such a thing. Check. And he goes down through the list, and then he says, you know, all of these things I've kept from a child on up. What do I lack yet? And Jesus said, if you really want to have eternal life, if you really want to walk with me, then I want you to go and sell all that you have and come and follow after me. And the Bible says in verse 22, Matthew 19 and verse 22, when the young man heard this, he went away sad, because he had great wealth. Now, friends, you need to understand, when you read that story, Jesus is not down on people of wealth. Matter of fact, you'll discover as you go through the Bible, He blessed many, many individuals to the point they were the most blessed people on the earth. Job would be one of them. Another would be Abraham. And the list would go on and on of the blessing of the Lord. So God, he blesses people and he takes great pleasure in blessing. However, this young man's wealth became God of his life. And so he wasn't after his wealth at all in this conversation. The issue was his heart and his priorities and who was going to be Lord of his life. The Bible says in Mark chapter 8 and verse 36, "For what good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? What good is it if a man owns every single city, every single state, every single ship, every single aircraft, every single bank, and then lose his soul?" He said, that's not even exchange. These things are not equal. Moses, when you look at Moses on the other hand, Moses had to make a decision as well. There was a decision that came to him. Are you going to identify with the children of Egypt or the children of God, the Israelites? Look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 25. It says now of Moses, the decision that Moses had to make was much like the rich young ruler. Listen what it says. He, that is Moses, chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for, say the next two words, a short time. Notice here, there's this comparison once again. Are you going to choose for the moment? Are you going to choose pleasures which are only for a short period of time? Or are you going to make choices based upon what is good for the long term? And so, here's what it says in verse 26 then. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. Friends, there's a key right there. Moses, when given the choice, looked ahead to his reward. The rich young ruler said, I've got to have it now, right here in this life. I don't care how short this life is. This may be the only life there is. And so I am not going to go for the curtain. I'm going to go for the bird in the hand right now, right here, because I know this is mine at this time. Moses was living in the palace. He was in line to be the ruler of Egypt. But he said, all of this is not of equal value. He, like Abraham, looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker was God himself. He was looking ahead to the reward. Where Esau went wrong, Esau was short-sighted. He made all of his choices, all of his decision that day, based upon what was here, what was right now, rather than down the road. Friends, we must carefully guard our natural desires in life. You know, the Bible says there are three categories of natural desires in life. One is the lust of the eye, the other is the lust of the flesh, and the other is the pride of life. The Bible says that all temptation that comes to us is going to come by one of these three areas, whether it's the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, or the pride of life. If you go back into the book of Genesis and you look at the account of Adam and Eve, there was three different forms that Satan came along to tempt and to test Adam and Eve. Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. When Jesus was out in the wilderness, 40 days of fasting, and the devil came to him and tried to bring him down, it is once again, it's the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. You will not find, listen to me carefully this morning, you will not find in the back seat of a car or a hotel room with a lover what God intended only for the marriage bed. That's a good place to clap wildly. Why? Because all things are not equal. You see, wealth is not equal to the blessing of God. The rich young ruler, he chose the momentary, his wealth, and said, this is all that I am going to pursue. It was a choice. He considered at that moment his wealth to be of equal value to anything that God would give him, not only for time, but for all of eternity. Wealth is not equal to the blessing of God. Worldly success and the accolades of men are not equal to hearing Jesus say one day, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy salvation." Having the applause of men, the accolades of men, cannot compare if all you have in the end is to hear the word of the Lord say, "Go away from me, you work of iniquity. I know you not." It's a choice that one makes. I would go on to say, in very practical terms, soccer is not equal to being in the house of God on Sunday morning. Another chance to clap wildly. A Packer game is not equal to being with God's people. The next time you're sick and needing prayer, Aaron Rodgers may come to the hospital to visit, but I doubt very often, and he has. You see, momentary pleasure is not equal to the peace of God. Amen. To have the peace of God is much, much, much greater than momentary pleasure. Let me continue to be practical. Family night is not equal to Sunday night service in the presence of God. See, the patty cakes are getting less. A Christian school is not equal to a Christian home. A fun day is not equal to a Sunday. All things are not equal. They're not all equal. You know, the third mistake here of Esau, he forfeited his most valuable possession for a simple bowl of soup. And in so doing, here's what he lost. We talked about what this meant to have, the birthright. But in it, Esau, making this choice, he lost the right of succession to his father's authority. He lost the double portion of his father's wealth. He lost the privilege of being the spiritual priest of the family. All of this was exchanged, and all of this was forfeited once again for a bowl of chili. Friends, I say it again, all things are not equal. Amen. This present temporal life does not equal eternal life. Let me ask, how many of you know how God viewed this particular transaction between Esau and Jacob? If you're not sure, the Bible gives us an exact story here that will tell us how God viewed this transaction between these two brothers. It's found in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 to 17. And in this portion of scripture, he gives us some good overall advice leading up to how God viewed this transaction of Esau. It says in verse 14, "Make every effort to live in peace with all men and be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord." How many want to see the Lord one day? Let me tell you, that is something to keep your eye fixed upon. The Bible says to keep our eyes fixed upon the one that is the author and the finisher of our faith. And if we are going to see him, the Bible says only the holy will see him. Look at next verse, verse 15. "See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See to it that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like," who? Say it. Esau. This is the word of the Lord. God says, Make sure you're not like godless Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit his blessing, he was rejected. He could bring about no change of mind, though he sought the blessing with tears. Friends, all things are not equal. Esau, driven by momentary desire, irrevocably forfeited what should have been his most prized possession as the firstborn. Yes, the birthright. Because all things are not equal, friends, we must consistently make wise, good, and godly choices every single day. Life is short, eternity is long. And because of that, we make our choices as Christians not based upon the moment, but on eternity. Father, this morning, as we've just talked for a few moments about Esau and Jacob, Lord, we can all relate. We can relate to the fact that these two brothers were raised in a home, a godly home, Isaac as their father, and how the law of the land at the time was to make sure the firstborn, even though maybe only a few minutes older, the blessing was to go in his direction. He had so much promise to him. But in a moment of hunger, in a moment of poor decision, he irrevocably gave up his birthright. And the word says he ate and he drank and he handled so carelessly the birthright. Father, this morning I pray that we would all get a better focus on eternity. Lord, that we would not be looking in the back seat or in a hotel room that was only meant for the marriage bed. Lord, that we would be the kind of people that when given opportunities, we would weigh it all out in light of eternity. What is the best, not just for today, but what is the best forever? Forgive us, Lord, for times that we've gotten so earthly minded. Lord, we could not really focus beyond the current hunger, the current desire, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Father, help us, I pray. Lord, we live our lives surrounded as though we're swimming with sharks and alligators. They want to destroy. This current culture round about us lives so much for the moment and will be quick to mock anyone that says, I'm gonna choose to serve God. The pleasures you've got are only for a season. They'll soon be gone. They may last for 100 years, and there's not many that are gonna live to be 100. But they could live to be 100 or even a few years longer. But what is that compared to eternity? Father, speak to our hearts today. Lord, that we can put all of this in proper perspective, in proper balance. Lord, that we would not shortchange ourselves. That we would not shortchange the generation that's coming behind us by making careless decisions that are just for the moment.